the JT the Brick Show.
You know, obviously it means a lot to me being a part of the Silver and Black alone. You know, the history. I've said it a million times. I feel like I was meant to be a Raider. I love being here.
Your Silver and Black home to Sound Off for over 25 years.
It's amazing, you know, opportunity, great community here, and, you know, great fan base. So I'm expecting a lot of fun, a lot of energy, you know, a lot of great times.
It's going to be all about competition, and there's going to be no easy games in our division.
And now here's JT the Brick.
Out of the gate, JT, as we open up the show to begin a new week on the flagship of the Silver and Black, Raider Nation Radio, and one of the most excitable and energetic sports talk shows you've ever listened to. Can you imagine if I didn't have energy? Can you imagine if I came in here and put my feet up? We're still in the dead zone. Let me remind you, we're still in summertime radio, man. The only time of year where we sit around and go, oh boy, what are we going to talk about today? Not on this show. You give me a couple hours a day. I got three tonight on Sirius XM. Not many people are doing 5 hours solo anymore. They're doing 5 hours or 3 hours with a show that has 11 people talking at once, wearing costumes and people behind the glass talking. This is a fast-paced radio show. It's faster than the other ones you listen to. I'm not saying it's better. Not to say it's going to be the greatest thing in your life. But we have a focus every day. Sports talk, not dummy talk. Not chicken wings talk. Not, hey, this is my life. I'll tell a story here or there. We had our 30th reunion for Sports Fan Radio Network this week, and I'll tell a story or two. But remember, when you listen to me, I appreciate your time. I think your time is valuable. I don't waste your time. I try not to waste it. So it's like a bullet train. Get on and get off whenever you want. We thank the bricklayers, everybody who's watching on social media. Something we've been pumping and pushing for a while, and it's paying off. You can watch the show live on YouTube. You can talk to us during the breaks. Bobby, are we allowed to say commercials anymore? Yes. Who cares what anybody says anymore? Like, we got a great program director here, but 99% of them don't know what they're talking about. So we know how to tease. We know how to tease ahead. We know how to do fundamental sports talk, especially in the summertime, and we're getting closer and closer to real football, college and pro, as the top 25 came out in college. And I think that was really interesting. I'm going to develop that topic for later on tonight. Shador looked great. Oh, God, so far I've never been more right on a topic. Oh, my God. Shador Sanders looked great, not good. Well, he played against the twos and the three. Oh, shut up. Everybody's playing against the twos and the threes. Everybody's got their backups in the preseason. If a quarterback like Jackson Dart and Shador look good, they deserve credit for looking good. And if the quarterback like Aiden O'Connell didn't look good in game one, we talk about it all. That's it. You know, for everybody, he says there's so many people who are literally so boring and they don't want to talk about football and they say, well, none of this matters. Oh, yeah, come to Vegas and tell me none of this matters. That's the focus of the monologue brought to you by PTs. They fuel the monologue. 5 to 7, midnight to 2, the best happy hour in town as we are rolling right out of the gate. And please subscribe for free. It's a free service on X and on StreamYard via YouTube at JT the Brick YT. And you can watch my energy level and, you know, you can talk to me whenever you want. All right, so let's figure out the big topic in Raider Nation now, because here we go again. Here we go. We have a group of Raider fans who are in panic in August because they want to coach the team. And I love that. I love the fact that you want to be the GM and the coach. That is great for me. I applaud you. I thank you when you have suggestions, you have opinions, you have detractions, anything you want is wide open as long as you what? Say it with me, show respect. We're not going to make fun of people. We're not making fun of anybody. We're going to be adults. So a lot of Raider Nation, I was at practice on Sunday, saw my buddy Thor and his beautiful wife, a lot of friends. I was walking around and then came back and I opened up my Twitter, my ex, and everybody's concerned about Jackson Powers Johnson. He's not out there with the top five. He's not with the twos. And then we find out he's got a little bit of a rib issue. Maybe they let him off that day. They didn't want him to go through what the other guys were doing. But the point is well taken. And the point is that Pete Carroll is taking his time to solidify the offensive line. What's wrong with that? Really? You're going to attack Vinny Bonsignor? You're going to attack our host, our insiders, and say that they don't know what they're talking about? They know exactly what they're talking about. They're some of the sharpest people in all of sports. So the issue is simple. Pete Carroll wants more competition. He wants to see more. I'm not saying he doesn't like what he sees. Maybe he hates what he sees. He's not going to tell me. But he's figuring out the status of the five starters on the offensive line. And there are some in Raider Nation who are personally upset that Jackson Powers Johnson hasn't been anointed the first team starter at right guard or center. You want to crown him? Then go crown his ass. You guys all want to have some type of depth chart that's all set going into the Niner game, like some former regimes had, and they're not here anymore. There's more competition here with Pete Carroll. Just more. So you would think the average Raider fan, and I think the average Raider fan understands this, and the typical football fan understands there's a process. And they're the coach, and they're the GM, and they're figuring it out, and you're the fan who's not playing in the games, is not in the meetings, is not in the building, but you have the right to have your opinion because you're smart, you're passionate, and you're a customer. You're paying a lot of money for these tickets in Vegas. Oh, boy. You're paying a lot of money to fly in here and get a hotel room for one or two nights, let alone go to the game. So your opinion matters as much as it ever has. But it's my job to sit here and try to give you an opinion or enhance your opinion on what's really going on. So there's most of the people respect it. They come up to me, get along with everybody. There's a couple of trolls out there that think I'm just giving out Raider propaganda. Great. What am I going to do? I can't change those people, so let's leave them behind. They've never shown up. They've never been to the torch. They never go to a remote. They never tell you the face, but they tell you that you're a bad guy because I'm not telling the truth. I always tell the truth. I want the Raiders to win. I want the Raiders to win at all costs. I want the Raiders to be great. And now we are watching a program being redeveloped. Not rebuilt. Oh, don't tell Max Crosby we're rebuilding this thing. He's decided to stay and not go to the Buffalo Bills and not go to a contender like the Ravens or any place in town in the NFL that would love Max Crosby. He's like, no, I'm here. You gave me a great contract, I'll stay. I'll be the leader of this team. So don't give me any of this rebuilding crap. This is a redevelopment with a new regime that has new eyeballs on this organization and are trying to fix the past. So let's break down what they've done so far. And hopefully one of these websites will clip this. What they're doing is they're reevaluating every player on the team. Simply said, the players who are staying from the former regimes and getting new deals have proven to Pete Carroll and John Spytek and the personnel department that they're worthy of new money and to be here, and they're good players. There are other players who were drafted by former regimes that their deals are too expensive to get out of potentially, or they want to give that player one more chance in a training camp, not in the season, in a training camp to prove that they could play here, and they show up on film. Everybody got that? And then there are players that they're bringing in, like Jamal Adams. They drafted Darian Porter, who has these really big measurables like Richard Sherman, even though he hasn't played a game. And they're developing those players in meetings, and they're building their character, and they're teaching them how to be professional football players. So everybody's got it? That's exactly what's going on in the building. When I'm on the team charter, I'm in the building, I'm on the practice field, I'm talking to people on and off the record. So everybody understand what's happening now? That's exactly what's happening. It's not a podcaster throwing darts up against the wall, guessing what's going on. I know exactly what's going on. Some of it's uncomfortable. Some of it's uneasy for the players. So it's tough on the fans not knowing exactly if their favorite player is going to make the team, is going to stay on the team, or is a player that eventually will be off the team. And that's good, because that's what this place needed. Last year wasn't a waste of time in Costa Mesa because the weather was good. The fans couldn't come to practice really like they can now. Pete's like at the gate. Pete's at the gate waving everybody in. Pete Carroll's like ripping ticket stubs and going, bring your family and friends. Little bit different to Costa Mesa last year. A lot different. And last year in Costa Mesa, the practices sucked. They sucked. Because Max Crosby was blowing them up so bad that the offense couldn't even complete a pass. And both quarterbacks were not good in the preseason. You thought Aiden had a bad game up in Seattle? I'll agree, he didn't play well. Played well in the second half for a little bit. But last year, Oh, my God. It was unwatchable, some of the practices, because nothing got accomplished on offense. Devontae split with his wife as she was having a baby. Colton Miller wasn't practicing. Jackson Power Johnson wasn't practicing. We're trying to figure out who's going to be swing guards and swing tackles because we don't have enough good players. And then we couldn't get Zamir White to the line of scrimmage. We couldn't get him to the line of scrimmage because the offensive line was getting blown up and we were dead last in the league in rushing. Dead last. It's hard to be dead last in anything. Believe me, it's hard to be dead last in anything. We were dead last when it came to rushing the football. So new regime comes in, led by Tom Brady, John Spytek, and they're going, no, that's the type of player we want. Let's see, he's got to love football. Well, Christian Wilkins loves football. He's laughing. No. He might love football, but he's not the type of guy we would have signed. We, and they didn't say this, and there's no air quotes, that's not the type of player they wanted there. Okay, costs a lot of money to say goodbye to that guy. Oh, boy. A lot of money to say, hey, that guy's not going to work. We don't like his behavior. Get him out of here. Oh, boy, that's a lot of money. But they're able to do it because Mark Davis is giving them the autonomy to do whatever they need to do to make the football team better. So what's everybody freaking out about? What are you freaking out about? That Jackson Powers Johnson has moved to guard? I was pretty surprised by that initially. The Remington Award winner, thought he was one of the best centers to come out of college. I thought he plays center pretty good, probably better than guard. They don't see it that way. But we know Jackson can still play center, and he might start games, and Pete Carroll made it clear, and I'll get to the soundbite coming up here, that they're going to still have competition. So when you look at this competition Pete thing, that I think I've brought you maybe better than anybody because I have the insiders in Seattle. I put the people on in Seattle. Dave Softy Mahler, Dick Fain. I hung out with Chuck Powell this weekend, who has the morning show on KJR. And they all watched this competition Pete Carroll thing go down for a while. And they know what Pete does. But we weren't paying attention to it because we didn't live in Seattle. And Seattle's a really weird town to get information. When Pete was taking them to the Super Bowls, we got Seattle information, right? The Legion of Boom. We saw them on TV. Russell Wilson. Marshawn Lynch. They were on TV a lot because they were winning a lot. But we didn't get a lot of information on how Pete put that team together. And if you were paying attention to it, what he did at USC and what he did in Seattle was simply this. Everybody's competing every day, and he has no problem playing younger players over veterans. That's pretty good. That should work here, maybe. You know, we got a lot of young guys who haven't played NFL games. Get ready for the regular season when the phones light up and some kid who's in his third ever game in NFL history gives up a bomb if the Raiders lose the game and the heat he's going to get. Well, that's part of the program here. And you also notice that Pete Carroll says the program a lot. The program. He says that a lot. Next time you hear it, raise your hand and beep your horn. Because he's building a program like he did in college. He was away from the program of football for a year, but not really. He was talking to his former coaches and guys who were coaching in the league, teaching at USC. And he came back with a new plan on how he wants to do it here. And that's what he's doing. So for the majority of Raider fans who get it, I appreciate it. For the other ones who don't get it, and you really want to stir the pot and make it very dramatic, like the sky is falling, I understand. You haven't won in a while. You're pretty bitter. You're upset about it. Okay, call the show. I got to wait 20 minutes a day every time I come in here to get someone to sound off like I got a pair. I mean, if you really got a problem with Pete Carroll and it's going to take a little time to figure out his starting offensive line, I would love to hear you defend it. I'm not going to hang up on you. I'd like to hear what you have to say. But I don't know anybody is going to be able to get on here and really justify the fact that Pete says, no, we got more work to do. We got to really look at this more. We got to study this more and figure out how we're going to get better by competition. So that's the monologue, again, as we open it up. And I don't really look at a lot. I'm studying to call the games. Right, calling the play-by-play with the great Matt Millen and Eric Allen. We got a Niner game coming up, only home game. So I'm trying to study the numbers of the guys who aren't going to play or make the team, and they might catch a touchdown. So that's kind of my priority here on top of this and learning more about this team and talking to people. When I go to practice every day, I talk to people. Just a little bit. Vinny, Deshaun Reed, if he's there. Harry Ruiz will join us here in 15 minutes. Levi Edwards. And I try to get their opinion. What do you see in practice? What are you seeing? Jesse Merrick we're going to have this week. All different opinions. And try to get everybody's opinion and get a feel for what's going on. So the last practice I was at, which was Sunday, you know, a lot of the insiders, air quotes, who are very good, were like, "Ooh, where's Jackson Powers Johnson? He's not in on any of the drills. He's not in on the individual drills. He's not out there with the ones and twos." Okay. And most of the guys that I talked to at that point said, well, there's probably something more to it. He's probably dinged up a bit, or he's kind of getting the day off for whatever reason. Then we found out there's a little bit of a rib issue, discomfort. Nothing serious. Okay. All right, we'll see what happens this week. The other point is this week I'm going to have some Niner guests on the show. Hopefully Damon Bruce. We already did the interview with Damon Bruce, so we'll replay that at some point this week. We talked about the Niners, and then Larry Kruger, and maybe David Lombardi, because we want to preview the games. And the Niners are super banged up. So last year when we were in Costa Mesa, the Niners were, the Saints were down in Costa Mesa. The Raiders and the Saints, obviously the Chargers and the Rams. And the Cowboys were in Oxnard. And so I was hanging around some people from the Saints because they were there. And they were at the same restaurants and bars. And they were really excited about how, about competing against the 49ers in joint practices. And then the Niners canceled the joint practice with the Saints because they had too many guys hurt. Well, I've heard through a couple of sources that they have more guys hurt coming to Vegas than they had last year when they canceled the joint workouts that they canceled with New Orleans. By all indications, they're not going to cancel this workout. But as I talked to someone who was on the call of the game, on the call, working with the play-by-play team, that the Niners signed guys like right before the game that weren't even on the depth chart of the flip card. Like the Niners are really hurting with injuries, and the Niners kind of have to figure out what they're going to do coming to Vegas. These one-on-one drills and the Raiders one-on-one drills. Will we see the Niners at their best? I think we're going to see the Raiders at their best. And then the other topic, which we'll find out a little bit later on this week, will be a big one on how long the starters play here. Here's what I think. Okay, I'm giving too much out, Bobby, in the monologue, man. I'm giving everything I got. I'm a big believer that you don't play Max. No, we don't need to see Max. And if Max wants to play a series, I love Max. Let him play two, whatever. But we don't need to see Max. We need to see Adam Butler and Tonka and Booker and the guys who are going to play there. We definitely need to see the offensive line play because they have to gel. Quarterback between Cam and Aiden O'Connell, yeah, whoever's going to play. Geno for a series or two. I don't know if you want to play Geno a full quarter. But Chip Kelly didn't take any big shots downfield. Even when the Raiders were trailing to tie for the field goal, Chip wasn't throwing anything super deep. There was a stop-and-go route to Jackson for a touchdown, but they were very basic. But as people are asking me in the chat, and some people are saying, you know, what's my big thing that I'm keeping an eye on? It's been the same thing I told you when camp started. Will the offensive line get penetration in the running game at the point of attack? Let me repeat that again. Will the new offensive line get penetration pushing forward on run plays? That's it. I'm pretty good with their pass protection. Colt Miller, I think DJ Glaze, I watch him go up against Max. He goes up against Max. Jackson Powers Johnson, if he's the right guard, which I think he'll be, good luck getting by him if you're trying to rush past him to get to the quarterback. I think they'll pass protect okay. Can they run block? Because if they can't run block, then Ashton Gentry's not going to get, you know, big yardage. And I think Ashton Gentry, I got him penciled in for 1,300 or 1,400 yards, 1,200 yards. He needs a big year. I'm confident he will. And then for those about the aging linebackers, good topic. You know, you got a bunch of older linebackers. They got to stay healthy. And then the young secondary, which is clearly a concern. Young cornerbacks, even though they brought in another defensive player on the back end. God, that was a damn good monologue. See what happens when I wait around all week to talk to you? Now we'll hear from you. Harry Ruiz, the Latino voice of the Silver and Black, will join us here in a few moments. X Smart. No, well, Bobby's going to reset the calls here so we can get everybody up here. Yeah. And we'll get going here. We'll start off with Raider O in San Diego. You would think I'd have Vegas calls. I'm in Vegas, but we'll go to San Diego where a young Raider child in the background is ready to talk to. What's up, O?
Hey, JT. Yeah, that's my son. He's home from his first day of TK school today. You know, as a coach, I like to think about the game before I call in, so I waited till today. I liked what I saw. It's the first dress rehearsal game, and I think it's where you got to work out the bugs. And, yeah, there were a couple of bugs. To Aiden O'Connell, I would say, hey, I'm glad you came out and played much better in the second half. Let's see that from the get-go these next couple of games, and even better. We do have expectations that if you're called on, if we ever have any bad luck with Gino, you're ready to go. And as someone who's seen him go into Arrowhead and put up big fights in other games, I trust him. I think he's going to have a better performance. The one thing that did cause minor alarm, but only a little bit, is I thought on the offensive and defensive line, we did get pushed around a little bit. And I think, you know, while you're still learning scheme and whatnot, muscle's part of this game. And I wanted to see much better pass rush. I think you look around the league, there were rookies out there that put on shows, you know, with limited snaps. I didn't see a lot from other guys, you know, not named Max Crosby. Got to see that in the next game. So that's where I'll leave it. I'm not really concerned. Looking forward to the season. Can't wait to watch the next game.
Yes, and good to have the pre-K'er back from school today. I did cause a little bit of controversy today, Bobby, because I pointed out in Las Vegas, because my wife's a school teacher, former school teacher. She worked a long time as a school teacher. She's an educator. I am not a fan of school at 7 a.m. I just had two sons graduate from college. Okay, I know the life of a kid from 9th to 12th grade. They need their sleep. They need to sleep because they're growing. They need to eat well. They need to get their rest, but they tend not to. At 9th, 10th, 11th grade, they're playing some video games. They're talking to their friends. They're getting their first girl or boyfriend. And I'm watching TV yesterday, and they're like, school starts tomorrow at 7 a.m. And I look at my wife. I go, what? She goes, where the hell you been? I go, 7 a.m.? I go, we didn't do that at Gorman back in the day when our kids, 7 a.m. I go, who does that benefit? Now, traffic patterns, I get. Plus, you're getting a young, growing child going through puberty up at 5:45 in the morning.
Probably more like 5 if it's a girl.
Yeah, and thinking their brain is ready at 7:05 in class. And she's like, yeah. I'm like, wow. I'm out of touch with a lot of stuff. 7 a.m. and starting in August. And don't tell me about the heat. Give me a break. It's hot everywhere. These kids are starting August 11th. I started and you started after Labor Day.
Exactly.
Come on. Give these kids a break, Bobby.
I'm not the one. Don't look at me, pal. No. The time I can put up with, because I remember going to high school and I had to be in at 7:15. But the thing is, I would be completely unconscious until about the third period. So by the time I actually woke up and was alive, then half the school day was over. So that was kind of cool.
Yeah, I mean.
But August 11th, that is just messed up.
8 o'clock? What are we all, is it against the law for 8 o'clock? Like 8 o'clock or
8:15? What's the matter with 8 to 3? Why is that so?
I don't know. What do I know? Again, I got through high school and college on time and on budget.
Well, at least you managed to get through like the first couple of classes. Yes. Then you finally wake up and it's like, okay, half the day's done. We're good.
Grimaldi's, hands down, my favorite pizza in Vegas. I've been saying that for a while. Now they serve slices for weekdays for lunch. Summerlin at Boca Park. Canal Grand Shops, fantastic at Palazzo, South Rainbow, and Eastern, as you climb up Eastern in Henderson. Thanks to Grimaldi's for being a tremendous partner and for providing us with $50 gift cards to give away all season. That's the monologue. The phone lines are open. If you went to Raiders practice, you're the people that I'm really wanting to hear from today. If you went to Raiders practice, you got an autograph, you saw Pete Carroll, you saw the energy, what'd you see? As a Raider fan, 702-365-9200. We won't play Pete's presser from yesterday, but I got a couple good sound bites that I'll reframe the show. Harry Ruiz will join us coming up next. Hope everybody had a good weekend. We are now officially boiling hot. This is where we bake like potatoes in Vegas, and you just got to figure it out. 104 showtime to a high of 108 today in Las Vegas.
They get the snap off. Hand off Jacobs. Has the first down in the big hole. 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Raiders. That hole opened up like last week. And Jacobs does it again. 7:52 to go in the second. A big spike. A big play. And the Raiders back in the game.
Now, you might say, why did we play Josh Jacobs coming out of break? Because we're looking back at our most influential draft picks in Raiders history before we get to our top 10, and Josh Jacobs made our list. So we got to get going on this. It was a plan to do this for summertime radio. We're kind of a little bit behind. It's working out okay, but, you know, this is a topic that we did to kind of get us through the slow parts here of what we're doing in the summer, and now we're not slow. So we're kind of going to do this. I'm going to get into the top 10, but Josh Jacobs was drafted by the Raiders, and I really think he's one of the most influential draft picks. He was drafted by the Oakland Raiders in 2019, played from 19 to 2023, was a first-team All-Pro, a three-time Pro Bowler. He led the NFL in rushing in 2022. I think he was a great player, unbelievable player. So, again, I don't forget these guys. I don't forget these guys. Josh Jacobs will be coming back to this team 10 years from now, and if I'm doing it or someone else is doing a chalk talk, he will be there because he really cared about the Raiders. It didn't work out at the end. You can blame a lot of people why it didn't work out at the end, right? That's not this regime again. The former regime's on what they wanted to give Josh Jacobs, and he outproved the contract. He outproved it just like Saquon Barkley did. So I wanted to feature him today. Josh Jacobs is one of our most influential all-time Raider draft picks. Not in the top 10, but someone that we've been talking about and really important. Now, the phone line is 702-365-9200. A couple of topics is, did you go to practice? What did you think of practice? Again, I talked to some people who have never been to a practice in Henderson. So they were, like, overwhelmed by it. Like, I was talking to people, where do I meet you? They're like, I'm under a goalpost. I'm to the right. Like, that's the first time they were there. Very different than Napa. And they had a good time. And I think that's great. If you're going to practice this week, let us know. Hopefully we'll see you out there. Now, I saw Ian Rappaport. I said hello to him. He was at Raiders camp when we were indoors, just very briefly. I talk to him every year at the Super Bowl and usually get him on the radio once a year. A pretty busy guy. And he went on his channel to talk about him visiting Raiders camp. Here's what he had to say.
I've been going through, giving reviews of all the training camp stops that I've been at. Have not done Raiders yet, so I want to address that here. And to me, you know, now that I've had time to consider it, 4 days or whatever it is, that was a really positive visit. Pete Carroll certainly has taken over that organization when it comes to culture. And I know a lot of attention has been paid to Tom Brady and, you know, the kind of impact he has on the organization. Yeah, I do think it's fair to say that the way they've been spending kind of looks like this is something Tom Brady has been pushing. And maybe that's true. Chip Kelly getting $6 million as offensive coordinator, maybe that's true. But bringing Geno Smith in, getting Pete Carroll's culture, his positivity, his energy, to me, that's the kind of thing that can have a lasting impact on the organization. I think that's very real. Pete Carroll was a perfect hire for the Raiders. And I know, you know, a lot of people wanted Ben Johnson and whatever. Pete Carroll was the perfect hire because he's going to, you know, kind of turn that place around. And he's done it. I mean, he's done it. He's won a Super Bowl. He's flipped cultures quick. This is exactly what they need. And I think, you know, each of the younger players, each of the more raw players, the developmental players, are probably going to play a little bit better than they otherwise would have. It is going to be a professional operation. And, you know, Geno Smith told me he thinks they're going to surprise the people and everyone's sleeping on them, maybe. Because they came out of that with really positive views on the Raiders.
All right, so that's Ian Rappaport. Very positive on Pete Carroll and what Pete Carroll's doing with the Raiders here. And that's what we're talking about. What is a summer topic during training camp? Simple. Doing this for 28 seasons now. What do you like? What don't you like? What do you want to see in the next preseason game? Aren't we all excited about this next preseason game? Raider Dad is going to join us, so we're going to talk to him this week about how to bring kids to the game. Oh, boy, bring as many kids as you can to this game. Please, if you're a season ticket holder and you're not going to the game, donate your ticket. Do not let those seats sit empty for the Niners coming to town. We've seen the Niners fill up that stadium, which is sickening to me. Let's get some Raider fans in there and some kids. We'll have that discussion a little bit later on. He calls the game on the Spanish side. What a great job he does for USC, obviously for the Raiders. Harry Ruiz is kind enough to join us. So, Harry, I saw you out there on Sunday, and Pete Carroll's kind of just telling everybody the truth. It's going to take a while to establish the top five on this offensive line. How do you see it?
Yeah, thanks for having me, JT. Always a pleasure talking to you, to my man Bobby over there on the ones and twos. We had an idea of what we thought the offensive line would look like. We knew, or we thought we knew, that Jackson Powers Johnson was a shoe-in as a center. You even go back to when Ashton Genty was drafted. A few days later, he's at the facility, and he introduces himself to Ashton Genty and says, "Hey, nice to meet you. I'm Jackson, your center." Now he's not. Jordan Meredith has been taking over that position, but I feel that there's a good chance that if the Raiders look at things and Jackson Powers Johnson a week before or 2 weeks before the season opener is the best option at center, they can just switch. Mm-hmm. That's what the preseason, that's what training camp works for, to experiment, to try to get your best five out there. And at the moment, let's also remember, Alex Kappa's injured. He didn't participate at practice, so they got to figure out also the backups, who's available and who's going to be along for the ride. Is it 8 offensive linemen? Is it 9 offensive linemen being in the 53-man roster? There's a lot of decisions to be made over the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, I'm not sensing that Jackson Powers Johnson is competing anymore for that center spot. I could be wrong. And I thought he was a lock to be the center, and I was wrong. So when it comes to him going forward here, we know if anything happens in the middle there, and someone gets banged up, and it's Jordan, he'll go in there and be the starter, and he'll be really good at it. But to compete for that right guard situation, and Pete keeps saying that he's a very aggressive, physical football player, and I just know from his tenacity and getting to know him a little bit, he could be a monster at right guard next to DJ Glaze when guys are trying to stunt and give a head fake and a swim move around Glaze on the inside. And you got Jackson Powers Johnson there to clean that up or to help out. But that takes chemistry, Harry. You got to play with that guy. You got to know the guy to your right and left. And I hope it's a good week for Jackson Powers Johnson coming into the Niners and the joint practices.
JT, you take out Alex Kappa out of the equation and the top five offensive linemen, DJ Glaze, Jackson Powers Johnson, Jordan Meredith, Dylan Parham, Colton Miller, they all played together last year, and they were all part of an offensive line that, as we got into the double-digit weeks from week 10 going forward, it performed better than it did at the beginning of the season when Colton Miller wasn't 100% physically, when Jackson Powers Johnson started getting some burn on those tires after not being ready at the beginning of the season. And so I feel like this team should have chemistry in that offensive line already, and we're just seeing them start it. Also a new system, the Chip Kelly offensive system, Brendan Carroll being the offensive line coach. So it's all about adapting, about being ready, and the reality is right now it's August 11th. September 7th, it's the goal day to everything be as close to 100% as possible.
Harry Ruiz is our guest. What do you think about the – let me say this right, the veteran linebackers, not the aging linebackers. I like having veteran, sharp linebackers who can defend if you line them up correctly. That's the only issue I have. If they're not lined up correctly, and then their age can kind of catch up to them. Younger guys can get in their space. We've been notorious here in Raider Nation. The middle of the field's been wide open for how long? So I think lining up Pratt and Roberts and obviously Devin White correctly, and if there's only two of them lined up because Jamal Adams comes in there to play some hybrid safety, as long as they're positioned correctly, I think they all have a sense for the football and can make some plays.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we're looking into big time, because you go to the game on Thursday and it's not 100% the responsibility of the linebackers, but we know that the physicality at practice isn't the same as in the game. The Seahawks ran all over the Raiders. They had 170 yards on the ground, and we had those three veteran experienced linebackers, during the first quarter, and they did everything against them. Then you had Jamal Adams come in and be a playmaker behind the line of scrimmage, right after the line of scrimmage, and be like, okay, I think Adams, he's raising his hand and he wants to get more playing time. But we know at the moment you got Roberts, you got White, you got Pratt as the 1-2-3 players there. But I just think they got to step it up now that they have another team competing in front of them. That's why Thursday is going to be huge this week. That's why Saturday is going to be huge this week, where it's like, okay, if one of the main three that have been here the most time can't step up, you got Adams ready to be in their position. Mm-hmm. And you got rookies like Lindenberg right behind them, or Eichenberg from last season, to also be potentially ready to take over for positions like that. But that's the beauty of everything. Pete Carroll, mm-hmm. his favorite word, competition. Yeah. And they're all competing there for playing time.
Harry Ruiz is our guest. So what should we, I mean, you've been doing this a while now. What do you expect for this Niner week? Because as I opened up, they're banged up. And I don't know if they're going to come in to join practice. I mean, a couple of joint practices ago, the New England game with Belichick, and the Raiders teared him up. Devontae had one of the greatest practices I've ever seen. It was that big. Now the Niners are coming in. You know, I want to see Kittle go up against these linebackers. And so I want to see how the Raiders guard George Kittle. But knowing how injured the Niners are, I wonder what Kyle Shanahan's going to do, because not only do they have a joint practice, they have a game, and they already got a bunch of guys who aren't able to practice. What do you sense is going to happen here?
I mean, JT, last year they canceled their joint practices with the Saints over in Southern California. This year it's the Chargers canceling their joint practices with the Rams. I'm hoping that it maintains, and even if it's not as intense as the previous joint practices that we've seen the Raiders involved in, it's a huge exercise because it's a controlled environment, because the coaches, they're able to manage, be third down every play, or be red zone in as many downs as they need to try both their offense and their defense, compared to a game where you just have first, second, third down, and if you don't convert third down, then it's fourth or first down. So it's completely different when it's controlled environment. You've been to multiple joint practices. I've been to multiple joint practices, and that's something that the coaches, they love being able to have their starters for as much time as possible out there going against the starters from other teams. And I hope that the Niners are able to stay healthy the next couple of days. Amir Abdullah, former Raider, he just got placed on the IR today for the Niners. And you just keep players keep going down, and you just want to try to keep them healthy, and hopefully they're able to stay healthy and have a productive Thursday. I feel that the joint practices many times are even better for the coaching staff than the games on their own.
Yes. Harry Ruiz, as we wrap it up. So the kicking game looks good. You and I'm doing the play-by-play on one side of radio. You're doing it on the other. I really believe that it's going to change, but I got to believe it to see it. So when I see these kickoffs drop into the zone, so when the Raiders are kicking and Carlson's kicking, I want to see something a little bit more elaborate. I want to see the ball bouncing and then spinning and hitting the ground and then popping off to the right. I want to see it more unique and difficult. And when the Raiders receive the kickoff and it doesn't go into the end zone, because now the new enhanced rule, you get it at the 35. No one wants to give a team the ball at the 35. You want to have them somewhere below the 20 or in the 20 region, 20 to 25. Are we going to see anything in the preseason, or most likely not until the regular season starts?
I mean, we were able to see it in one of the kickoffs on Thursday, where it bounced inside the landing zone and went into the end zone, and one of the Seahawks players just saw it go out of bounds. That meant the kickoff was that touchback took it out to the 20-yard line instead of the 35. That was positive for the Raiders. They pretty much gained 15 yards in that opportunity, and that's something that they don't want to show much of what they have planned. We've seen things in practice that we're not going to dive deep into, but they've been having more special teams periods because they want to be ready for week one, be able to have some ace up their sleeve, some secrets hanging in there just to be able to take it out when they need it most, where they definitely have, for example, if they're down by three, they want to be able to have them as deep as possible in the field and not have them in field goal range a couple of set of downs later. Look at the Raiders. Their kickoff to start the game, they took the ball out to the 37-yard line. One 15-yard pass later from Geno Smith, they were already in enemy territory. If they had gotten another set of downs, they were already been in field goal range. So it has its pros, its cons. I don't think they'll show us their secrets in the preseason game. I think they're going to save them for the regular season game.
What are you excited about? There's only one preseason game at home. As you walk the parking lot, you get a lot of social media. You get up there, you prep for your call of the game here. I think a lot of Raider fans, if you go back to the last game last year, which was a long time ago, and we only get one in the preseason, it's a nice opportunity this weekend. The alumni are in town. No team in professional sports brings in 200-plus alumni, not even close. So there's a good vibe coming into this game coming up this weekend with so many people in town.
Yeah, it's great seeing the appreciation that the organization has for all its former players. I know Leo Araguz, who I'm really close with, is going to be in town, so it's going to be great to be able to hang out with him a little bit. Raider Dad, you just mentioned him, so I'm going to try to make it out to his tailgate. Even though it's going to be a little bit warm out there, I'm going to be trying to make it out there and also being out for his Raider Dad bowling event that he has the day before the home opener, where Lincoln Kennedy's going to be there, more alumni is going to be there. I'm going to be emceeing it. So it's always great being able to hang out with the Raider Nation. And on the field, I want to see Cam Miller potentially even being the second quarterback, being out there to see what he has. And that way you can put out the doubt that it was just because it was the last against the last players on the roster against the Seahawks. See what the kid has.
Yeah. All right, Harry, I'll see you a bunch. We're going to see each other a bunch this week, and we'll get you at a couple of practices, and we got some media stuff going on. So have a great week.
Take care, JT.
You got it, Harry Ruiz. How nice is it to have him on, one of our insiders there, and he calls the game. The Black Hole is home to football's most notorious fans, 40 chapters worldwide and growing. If you're a diehard Raider fan, this is your home. I have been inviting you to become a member of the Black Hole since I became a member of the Black Hole. It's pretty easy. Just go to theblackhole.com, click on memberships. Once a member, always a member, you become a member for life. Don't you want to be a member of the Black Hole for the rest of your life? A lot of perks. And they have a new partnership this year that they're really excited about. I talked to Mark Jones about it, and he's going to come on here in the next week or two as we'll continue to talk about this. So I'm excited for what the Black Hole has to offer. TheBlackHole.com today. That's TheBlackHole.com. When we come back, quickly, I want to dive into Dana White's UFC deal on Paramount Plus. I want to give you some information on the streaming world, and I want to get your opinion. And I think this UFC deal, I'm not a UFC guy, I'm a boxing guy, but Dana's now in the boxing world too. You just have another opportunity to buy something streaming-wise. I'm trying to add up what this stuff costs. Whoa! Whoa. So I think the UFC deal is actually really good. It's one of the better ones there because there's no fluff. You're going to get everything they have, one price. In the United States, and Paramount Plus. And for Dana to move that from Fox and ESPN and end up at Paramount Plus, you know that he was looking at a good deal. So hopefully we'll talk to him about this at some point this week. But we want to hear from you. And hopefully you don't need the DiCastroverde Law Group. But if you get into an accident and you're injured, you better believe you better have an attorney's name in your phone. I can tell you can trust them from the legacy of their great dad, Orlando and Alex DiCastroverde. Proud partners of our show. If you get into an accident and get injured, 702-222-9999. They will help you. They will give you everything. Brotherswin.com.
First and goal on the Packers 2 end zone to our left. Garoppolo is under center in I formation. Snap. Handoff. Jacobs. Dances. Goal. Forward. Touchdown, Raiders. Jacobs had to dance in the pocket, but he got the motion going forward and enough engine to get in the end zone. And the Raiders, on the first play of the fourth, take a 16-13 lead.
Jason Horowitz on the call. We're featuring Josh Jacobs today as one of our most influential draft picks of all time. We're brought to you by Raisin Cane's. Oh, I would never forget this. School starts today. You know how much Canes does with the schools here in the Valley in this show? Raising Canes Chicken Fingers, how they give back in this community. Fantastic. Proud partner of our show. My sons are Caniacs. I see Raising Canes everywhere. The buttery Texas toast, the coleslaw that I love. Iced tea or lemonade, I can't choose. It's both great. And the Canes sauce, which is made in store. Big announcement earlier today. Paramount and TKO announced an historic UFC media rights agreement. Dana White does it again. Paramount to become exclusive home of UFC in the United States going forward. This is a streaming deal with Paramount. And Dana says, I couldn't be more excited to join forces. Rarely do opportunities arise to partner on an exclusive basis with a global sports powerhouse. The price seems right. You're going to get it all in the United States. Dana will talk about other deals globally. But Dana White, I can tell you a number of things about knowing Dana. We both live in Vegas. He's looking for deals for fans. So for Dana White, who was with Fox, ESPN, doing all these deals from the beginning, when Dana says, I have a new deal, believe me, it's been vetted. He understands how it's going to make money for his company, but also be better for fans. And now you can find a way that this deal can come together on Paramount Plus for the exclusive home of all UFC events in the United States. One of the guys in sports that you have to trust, because many of these people are scoundrels. These executives, the television executives, some of them are scoundrels. And Dana's dealt with all of them. So if Dana says, hey, I got a new deal, the price is right, we think that this, and he talked about all the other content that they have at Paramount, Mobland, right, Yellowstone, everything you watch. I love Paramount Plus. That's something I'd pay for. I think this is going to be great. I'm more of a boxing guy than UFC, but my sons are UFC, and they love this deal. Congratulations to Dana White and Paramount and the opportunity for marquee fights to be simulcast on CBS. When Dana White does a deal, the majority of the time, the mass majority of the time, it works out. This looks like another home run. Congratulations to Dana.